What a beautiful service we shared together last Sunday. I've really come to treasure our celebration of Earth Day each year. I have found that the work of caring for creation has sunk into my soul, and I hope that it is doing the same for you. One of the things I have learned from the work of the Caring for Creation Task Force is that living close to the earth is probably the best way to inspire all of us to care and be good stewards of creation. But I'm becoming convinced that it does much more for us than just that. In fact, I would make the claim today that if you want to keep the Word of God, as Jesus spoke of it in the Gospel, if you want to remember all of the things that he taught to us, if you, as parents, want to raise your children so that they might be able to live in peace with hearts that are not troubled or afraid, then it matters where we live. Now, before you think that I might be condemning those of us who live downtown and kind of idealizing those of you who live out in the country, let me be a little clearer about what I mean. And to do that, I want to go back to the texts. This vision that we have today from the book of Revelation gives to us a really clear picture of what the new earth, as we read about it last week, is to be like. And Gordon taught us that when we talk about the new earth, what we really mean to talk about is this earth and our lives as we are being renewed and transformed by the Spirit. That's what Scripture means by new. Now, according to this passage today, this earth, our lives, as it is being renewed by God's Spirit, is becoming a place where there will be no need for a temple. It tells us that the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And as the passage unfolds, we hear many other things, like the nations will begin to walk in the light of the Lord. Kings will bring their glory into the city. There will be a river of life that flows through it. And there will be a tree with fruit and leaves that are for the healing of the nations. There is so much rich spiritual wisdom that is packed into this very short and dense passage that we've read today. And I want to point to just two of those pieces of wisdom. We have long been conditioned in Western Christianity to think in terms of dualism. We like to divide things up. We talk about things like the secular world and the sacred world. And worship falls into the sacred side of things. Worship is something that we do in sacred times and places. Most obviously when we gather in a place like this, right? A sanctuary, our version of a temple. But you might also think of worship as being connected to certain practices, like when you pull out your scriptures in the morning to read, or when you say prayers at the end of the day at night. But we don't just divide spaces and practices. We divide up people, too. So we talk in terms of believers and unbelievers or non-believers, so that those of us who see ourselves as having faith can sometimes see our goal in life as bringing that faith. Some of us might even go so far as to say bringing God to these people who have not yet come to believe. The vision from Revelation today proclaims that God is not limited by our places and practices of worship, or even by our professions of faith. God is everywhere, both within the temples of our worship and beyond. Every time and place where we see God and we offer our awe and reverence, we are worshiping. This is the first piece that I want to lift up that gives us a clue about where we are to live. We are to live close to the Spirit so that every place that we go, every conversation that we have, every endeavor of human life on the whole planet becomes a place where God resides and becomes an opportunity for our worship. Now here's a second piece that I wanted to lift up that gives a clue about where to live. Look at some of the images of this passage. They come from the natural realm, don't they? Mountains, light, water, fruit, trees. These images give to us a picture in our minds about the spiritual life. And I think that the writers of Scripture over and over again draw from natural elements, not just because they're familiar to all of us, but because they are so accurate. They show us so clearly what it is that we need to learn about being spiritual people. We learn how to be human beings when we live very close to the earth. In Genesis, the human being is called in Hebrew the Adam. And that earth creature comes from the Adama, or the earth. We are earth creatures. That's what it tells us in Scripture. Celtic spirituality has understood this well, that you grow closer to God and find the ways of wisdom as you live closer to the earth and learn the wisdom of that realm. This is how we discover the ways of God. So where you live matters. When we can live really close to the Spirit and begin to recognize God in all of the places that we go, when you live really close to the earth and begin to know God's ways through the rhythms of the earth, that is when we can finally find that place of peace, really settled place of trust that Jesus is talking about with the disciples today. Now, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he offered them this blessing of peace, they were anywhere but in a settled place of trust. In fact, they were in a place of dread. This is when they were feeling the rising tides of violence that were going to take Jesus' life. We went back in time in the gospel today to John 14. This takes us back before Jesus' death and resurrection. But over the last several weeks, as I've been watching the greening of the earth, I've been hearing this blessing of peace from Jesus to people in the midst of dread in a very new way. There is no question that terrible things happen in life. I don't even have to enumerate today all of the ways because we know them so intimately. And when we are faced with those terrible things, it can feel as if that is all there is. Our suffering is all that there is. There is something profound and true about the resiliency of life that we get to witness as we watch the cycles of the earth every year. Right? Things that were once beautiful fade. They even die. Things that in places that were once verdant and alive, they go fallow. If you find yourself in one of those places right now, metaphorically in your life, there is hope. Because what we have come to learn is that after winter comes spring. And even after the horrific kinds of devastation like wildfires and hurricanes, even then, nature has a way of renewing itself. The force of life is incredibly strong. That is a part of the message of Eastertide, that when we stay really close to the resurrection power of Jesus, as we live in the Spirit, as we begin to live close to nature and listen to what we learn there about the ways of the earth, we begin to see the world through this vision from Revelation. And what these texts do for us is kind of instruct us in the postures that we are to hold as we make our way through life, the kind of expectations and assumptions we should bring with us into life. No matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, God is there. Did you notice that posture in Paul when he goes to Macedonia? To a territory where the gospel had not yet been proclaimed, and he went looking for a place of prayer. He knew that God was already there. We are invited to live our lives with that kind of assumption, expecting to see God everywhere we turn, and to bring with us also this belief in the resiliency of life, that even into the most fiercely destructive places, God can bring new life. Now, on Thursday evening, I had the incredible privilege of being with quite a number of you at the Center for Women in Transition fundraising gala. And the keynote address was brought to us by a woman named Karen McCandless. Her brother Chris was the subject of a book that eventually became a movie that Sean Penn did called Into the Wild. After college, Chris cut off from his family and went out into the Alaskan wilderness to live off of the land. And then sadly, tragically died out there at the age of 24. The book has become required reading all over the country, and so Karen gets asked all the time to come and to talk about her brother's life. And after many years of doing this, she decided she needed to tell the rest of the story, which she does in her own memoir called The Wild Truth. And early in her address to us on Thursday night, she put up a picture of herself as a child with her brother Chris, who was older. It was on Easter Sunday morning, and she is smiling, as her parents forced her to do. But Chris was not. And you could see in his eyes the anger and the hurt that betrayed what happened just a few minutes before the picture was taken, something that happened in their family all the time. I have to tell you, it was really brutal hearing the stories of the amount of abuse that had happened in that family. But one of the things that she told us as her story went on is that for Chris, the wilderness, nature, was always a place that he could find peace, even as a kid. And one of the last pictures they have of Chris is of him standing just about to go out into the wilderness, and you can see this smile on his face and this light in his eyes that is such a stark contrast from that first picture that she showed. And you can surmise this journey of healing that he had been on. And the family had the gift of finding his journals after he died, and they were able to prove out what they suspected from that picture, which is that he had found peace. And in fact, what she told us is that he had found in God a father who was faithful. For Chris, that combination of finding God, living close to the God who was within him, and living really close to the earth that was beneath his feet, became this incredible crucible of healing. Where we live matters. But you don't have to live off of the grid in some wild place in order to be close to the earth. And you do not have to retreat from your family in order to be close to God. That is the message of Revelation to us today. Wherever you are, God is there, and the earth is beneath your feet. So live close to God, live close to the earth, and hopefully, prayerfully, we will find the kind of peace that Jesus promised. Amen.